They always control both sides of the opposition. So we already know who the bad guys are. Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, George Soros, et cetera, WHO. And they got to give us a good guy. So they gave us Elon Musk. And he is doing a lot of good. He gave me my Twitter back. He's giving people all these wonderful opportunities. But like we say, great power comes great responsibility. And eventually he's going to have almost absolute power. And what do we know about absolute power? It corrupts absolutely. Elon has he's creating a monopoly for himself. He's got Twitter as the social media. He's got Starlink as the internet and cell phone network. He's making his own Tesla phone, which is going to destroy all the other phones. And then he's got his own cryptocurrency. Then he's making Twitter its own pay exchange. So he's going to be able to do credit card transactions and eventually crypto transactions. And finally, he's going to link all of that together with his Neuralink implant. So he's literally going to be inside your brain. He's going to have complete control. He's going to be one of the most powerful men in the world. I believe, and I'm saying this here, that he's going to be publicly the world's first trillionaire that they advertise. He's going to destroy Jeff Bezos and all these other so-called rich people. And that's going to put Elon Musk in a very unique position. He's going to be one of the most powerful men in the world. And that's going to make him either the most dangerous man in the world, or he can be the best thing that ever happened to humanity.
We're now into hour number two of Sunday Live.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, we like to have people on like Tucker Carlson and Cy Hirsch. They've been on the show many times. We like to have people on who've been right long before anybody else. And there's so many of these great people like Dr. Francis Boyle we had on earlier this week. Of course, we had in studio Jay Dyer. Yesterday, that great Saturday broadcast, 2 hours long, it's posted at band.video. Watch it, share it. It's really important. The history of the New World Order, what's currently happening, what's coming in the future. But Chris Skye's 39. He's been a listener since he was 14 or 15 years old. That's 20-plus years. But he doesn't get his info from me. Once you know about the New World Order, you can get it from them, as they openly brag about it. But before we go to him to tell you what's coming next, he's one of the smartest guys out there and a great activist, not just in Canada, but around the world. Let's play a clip of him 2-plus years ago predicting what would happen with the COVID tyranny, and he totally nailed it. And then a newer clip where he's telling you what the 15-minute cities are going to be. Then we'll get into the central bank digital currencies and the world we're already living in and what's coming next. But here is Chris a few years ago predicting that they were never going to take their foot off our neck until we demanded they take their foot off our neck. Remember, he said this 2-plus years ago, right when the lockdowns were just starting. Here it is.
Canadians, you need an intervention.
Don't need a mask. The mask is about compliance because they know Canadians like to do what they're told. So if they tell you you have to wear a mask, next they're going to tell you you have to contact trace. Then they're going to tell you you have to take the vaccine. And because Canadians like to do what they're told, they're hoping that everyone just complies. And then guess what, kids? Once you take your vaccine, like a dumb person that doesn't know any better, they're going to tell you, sorry, the vaccine isn't as effective as we thought it was going to be. So now you still got to wear your mask, still got to get contact trace, still have all the restrictions and social distancing, and still take your vaccine. And then what did you get out of all of this? You got a whole year where you weren't allowed to travel. Your business was closed. They took your rights and freedoms. They forced the vaccine on you. And what happened? The same amount of people died. Everything is the exact same. And now they're going to put you back on lockdown and bring it all the way till July of next year so they can do the same thing again. Bring you from July, August, and September, getting you off lockdown, but just to bring you back on lockdown again. If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class, and that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
It's that simple. And then they began to say, we're going to have carbon lockdowns. We're going to have environmental lockdowns. We're going to train you to live in your house. Here's Chris Skye a few months ago warning about what's happening with the UN-announced 15-minute cities, when he announced this a few months ago and was talking about it, Canada had not announced yet. More than 30 cities and towns are now adopting, turning the towns into prisons. Here it is.
Canadians, you need an intervention. After talking about 15-minute cities and explaining them in detail and then going online to see the reaction, I see the vast majority of people, especially young people, completely stupid. They say things like, why wouldn't you want everything within a 15-minute walk? Because, dumbass, the idea is the entire purpose of a 15-minute city, which isn't even a city when you can only go 1.5 kilometers in each direction before you hit the end of your district. The entire purpose of the 15-minute city, which I've been telling people, is to reduce your so-called carbon footprint, which is another way of saying reduce the amount of miles you travel, reduce the amount you fly, reduce the amount you drive, reduce the amount you eat, reduce the amount you do everything. A carbon footprint is a euphemism for your actual footprint. But if I'm wrong and you think I'm lying, well, I'll post some articles here where it literally tells you in the first sentence that the entire purpose of a 15-minute city is to reduce your carbon footprint and especially reduce your ability to drive and use motor vehicles. Why don't they want you to have a car? It's very simple. A car gives you freedom. A car gives you the ability to literally drive across the country. They don't want that for you. They want you stuck in a little area that you can't drive out of. So they want to make it so you can't drive. How are they going to do that? Well, they're already taking away parking spaces. They're already taking away driving lanes and replacing them with bike lanes. They're already making certain roads ultra low emissions roads so you can only drive an electric car on them. They're already putting checkpoints between the different districts with actual bollards and things to stop you. They're actually installing cameras at those checkpoints so they can find you when they read your license plate and you drive where you're not supposed to, when you're not supposed to. But no, they're not doing this because they want to control you. This is all because they really love you. They want you to be walking around and riding around your little electric scooters. And you definitely ain't going to be flying or doing anything like that. But of course, this is all just a conspiracy theory. Just put your mask back on, take your jab, and enjoy your 15-minute city, you pathetic peons.
There you go. Chris Sky joins us now to talk about this and a lot more and what he thinks is coming next. Chris, thanks for joining us on the Sunday edition, my friend. Where do you want to go first?
Well, we got to get everybody to understand that COVID was basically phase one. COVID was there to train everybody two big things. Number one, that the rights and freedoms that have always been paramount to society and that worth fighting world wars over were no longer paramount to society. In fact, they're selfish and dangerous. And those people who would advocate for them are also dangerous. Step two in their little training program, which we call COVID, was to convince people that individual responsibility is a thing of the past. And we are now collectively responsible for everyone. I need to wear my mask to protect you, Alex. Now, you transfer those two new ideas to the next phase of their plan, which is to perpetuate the lockdowns, perpetuate the government control, but not just for the duration of a pandemic, but for the duration of generations yet to come, combined with more technocratic control grids. Well, you have to understand that the next phase of this is the climate change environmental phase. And they're planning on using the combination of 15-minute cities, a personal carbon allowance, and people need to write that down, personal carbon allowance, and finally the idea of a digital currency to fully enslave humanity like we saw happening with the COVID lockdowns, but not for temporarily and not for your health and safety, but now permanently, and so we can protect the planet. A 15-minute city tells you that everything you need is going to be a 15-minute walk from where you live. Well, since September, I've been in England, Ireland, Belgium, France, Netherlands, Germany, Mexico, Peru, Colombia, all over Canada. I talked to the residents of Oxford, England, one of the first places to put these 15-minute cities, where they are now rioting. Oxford was divided into six districts. Oxford started getting rid of vehicle traffic. Oxford started putting bollards and barriers and traffic cameras that would automatically fine people for leaving their district when they weren't allowed. They had to get travel passes to leave their district when they weren't allowed. And this is the plan they want to do for everyone. And everybody believes that this 15-minute city idea is a national thing. And it's just happening around the world by accident. No, it's just like COVID. It's starting in Europe. And whatever they do in Europe, they bring over to North America. So that's what's going to happen. And the only way we can stop it is by people getting aware and understanding what a 15-minute city really is. Do you really want to be confined to an area where you can only walk or bike 15 minutes in each direction? Especially in a country like Canada.
And then again, only select corporations are allowed to even come in. So you got to buy from them. You have your credits all controlled by the central bank digital currencies of where you can spend them and how. This has all been announced.
That's right. And that's exactly what they want to do. And they want to make your district identical to the district next to you. There's no more small business. There's Starbucks, McDonald's, Amazon, Walmart in your district, and the same stores in the next district. So you really have no need to leave your district. And then to make sure that you won't be able to leave your district, they're going to have financial constraints with environmental undertones.
And there's only bug protein on the menu at those places. This is the total prison enslavement grid, but humanity's waking up and fighting back. The New World Order is not coming, folks. It's here. Chris Sky is our guest. We'll come right back with him straight ahead. Tell everybody you know, tune in now. Welcome back to the Sunday edition of the Alex Jones Show. Every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., Owen Shore is coming up with a big lineup of guests and breaking news on multiple fronts, from the anti-World War III protest in D.C. to witnesses and reporters from on the ground in Ohio, in Palestine, so much more. Chris Sky is our guest right now, and I want to get big picture. Elon Musk at the World Government Forum last week saying it's a bad idea. All the poison shots, what he thinks is coming next, one of the smartest folks out there. But Chris, you wanted to finish up with the carbon dictatorship worldwide and the 15-minute cities.
Yes, because the 15-minute city, we already discussed how they're going to physically keep you within your city and how they're setting up the city to keep you within your own area. But now we're going to talk about financially and psychologically how they're going to do that. And it's called a personal carbon allowance. There's huge propaganda right now to get you to track your so-called carbon footprint. You can even get a MasterCard that will track every single purchase you make. If you buy a plane ticket right now, it'll show you how much carbon you're actually using. And according to the idea of 15-minute city, the whole idea is to reduce your so-called carbon footprint, which is a euphemism for reducing your actual footprint. So they're now putting carbon limits on every single thing you use, every single thing you buy. If you go to the store and you look at kale, it's going to have a very low carbon rating, so you can eat as much as you want. Same thing with the crickets that they want you to eat. Meanwhile, if you go to try to eat the steak, it's going to have a very high so-called carbon rating, which is a new tax. And eventually, they're going to start charging you about $170 for every so-called ton that you go over your limit. Now, in North America, they tell us that we use over 20 tons of carbon a year. And according to the Paris Climate Accords that we all signed on to, if we don't reduce that to 2 tons from 20, we're all going to die. So they want you to reduce 90% of your so-called carbon footprint in order to save the so-called planet. And that's where they're going to bring in 15-minute city with the personal carbon allowance. And the final nail in the coffin is the digital ID. Because once they have you on a digital ID, they can forcibly vaccinate you with a poison injection. They can mandate anything they want in order for you to even be able to have access to spend your money. And now they get to track, trace, control, and tax every single transaction.
And by the way, you're not just saying this. You're not putting a bad face on it. This is all officially announced by the UN. They've got a UN World Biomedical Tyranny. I had the guy on last week who literally writes the UN treaties and the U.S. laws, Dr. Boyle. And he was just laying out that it is a worldwide medical police state run by the UN and the corporations that control it. I mean, it's hard to overstate how bad this is.
It's like COVID, but way worse, because they don't even need to use the stigma of public health and all the rest of it. They're just literally doing it, and they're doing it worldwide. And Elon Musk said how dangerous a world government is, and he's not wrong. And he's going to be one of the most powerful men in the entire world. So we should take note. Elon is creating a monopoly for himself. He's got Twitter as the social media. He's got Starlink as the internet and cell phone network. He's making his own Tesla phone, which is going to destroy all the other phones. And then he's got his own cryptocurrency. Then he's making Twitter its own pay exchange, So he's going to be able to do credit card transactions and eventually crypto transactions. And finally, he's going to link all of that together with his Neuralink implant. So he's literally going to be inside your brain.
And then none of the other sites are going to be free. His will be quasi-free. Everybody will run to that. And he calls it Internet X, total control.
He's going to have complete control. He's going to be one of the most powerful men in the world. I believe, and I'm saying this here, that he's going to be publicly the world's first trillionaire that they advertise. He's going to destroy Jeff Bezos and all these other so-called rich people. And that's going to put Elon Musk in a very unique position. He's going to be one of the most powerful men in the world. And that's going to make him either the most dangerous man in the world, or he can be the best thing that ever happened to humanity. But he's got so much money. If I had that kind of money, I would have already been the prime minister of Canada, and I would have already taken control of the country.
And by the way, you're about to run for major office. We're going to talk about that next segment. But let's talk about this. What is your research and gut level analysis? Because really guts all the thousands of data points you've got or that we all have individually, and then we make an approximation, a dead reckoning. I think he's an Overton window. He's the so-called freedom guy over here. Bill Gates is the tyranny guy with Klaus Schwab, but still it's a control paradigm, so it's an Overton window controlling our options.
You're 100% correct, Alex. I wish I didn't agree with you, but I usually do, and in this case, I agree with you 100%. They always control both sides of the opposition. So we already know who the bad guys are: Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, George Soros, et cetera, WHO. And they got to give us a good guy. So they gave us Elon Musk. And he is doing a lot of good. He gave me my Twitter back. He's giving people all these wonderful opportunities. But like we say, great power comes great responsibility. And eventually he's going to have almost absolute power. And what do we know about absolute power? It corrupts absolutely. And he's on the record saying that the most dangerous thing in the world is AI and merging humans with computers. Meanwhile, that's exactly what he's setting out to do. He wants to merge humans with computers, get us literally get inside your head, and then send people to Mars. So he's got very big ambitions, and he's doing a lot. I have to say, he's a very intelligent man, and he's got a lot of the world supporting him
right now. Well, he's obviously got a big section of the New World Order behind him. He's definitely being formed as the opposition to the New World Order to be the New World Order.
I agree with that 1,000,000%. And if you just look into his history, he had a lot of government funding to get where he is. So, like, I don't know, just if you follow the money, you can always find the truth. That's the reality. So I like a lot of what he's doing. We have to like a lot of what he's doing. And technology is always a double-edged sword. Like, we can bash social media all we want, but we still use it. We need to use it. The only technology we don't need to use are their 15-minute cities, their digital IDs, and all their personal carbon allowance and everything else that they're trying to use to enslave us. And the only way they can get us enslaved is if we do it to ourselves. Nobody's going to put a gun to your head and say, you need to start tracking your carbon. No, they're just going to beat you over the head with the idea over and over and over again and tell you you're a horrible person if you don't do it. And then if the majority of people do it, we're going to get screwed. So that's why we're on this mission. That's why we're going all over the world. And that's why we're literally breaking language barriers, psychological barriers, financial barriers, just to inform the public. Because if the public is informed, the public will reject this idea.
Well, that was my next question. If you had to describe the battle between good and evil right now, between freedom and tyranny, Team Demon and Team Freedom, how would you describe this right now, where we're at? Are we winning? Are we starting to win? Or are we getting our ass kicked?
I think we're winning, and I think they're being very reactive, and I think that's why they're pushing so hard and fast with the 15-minute cities and all these other agendas, because their poison vaccine failed. It came out that the vaccine not only did not protect, not only did not stop you from passing on, but actually made it more likely for you to be hospitalized and killed. And in some countries like Australia, we got to the point where 100% of the people in the hospital had been vaccinated, even though 75% of the population was vaccinated. So it didn't work. Everybody caught on, and now they've lost the trust of those people. And this is the beauty. Most of the people that took the jabs, most of the people that wore the mask didn't want to. They did it because it was mandated. They did it because they thought it was law. They did it because they didn't want to get social stigma. They didn't want to get ostracized. But now they're trying to push basically the same ideas of tyranny on us, but they don't have the stigma of a public health epidemic. They don't have the stigma of mandates. They don't have the social stigma of that you're going to kill grandma or a child if you don't want a 15-minute city. So now, not only can we regain all the traction we had with the freedom movement, but we can get all the people who are vaccinated and regret being vaccinated, all the people that wore the mask that realized they did it for no reason, So we can get a lot more people on our side, and people are going to be a lot more willing to stand up.
I totally
up
agree. Let's talk about the current situation with the poison shots, how the wheels have come off. But what you're saying is key. The same globalist New World Order behind the poison shots, behind the open borders, behind all the pedophilia, behind all the tyranny, is behind the entire fake environmental movement, Greta Thunberg, and the whole criminal pack. I'm Alex Jones. More of Chris Sky straight ahead. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are winning. I totally agree with Chris Sky. I learned right before I went live about an hour and 35 minutes ago that an old friend of mine is on the show dozens of times, a big listener, comedian and Law and Order icon, Richard Belzer, dead at 78. And I remember one time he even got Christopher Walken on the show. And so we'll play a few minutes of that at the end of the next segment as I'm ending my show. And Owen Schroyer is preparing to come in for what we call Sunday Live, 2 hours of amazing talk radio slash analysis on TV. So that's coming up. We'll be talking more about that. Yes, that's Christopher Walken sitting in Richard Belzer's lap as a joke on my show. So that's coming up. I told the crew, hey, pull that up. They go, really? You had Christopher Walken on? Yeah, the show's been around a while, folks. When I was anti-war, which I still am, and the big 9/11 guy, I got invited out to Hollywood everywhere, met all those guys and a lot more. But those are the good guys that were awake. Most Hollywood was a bunch of scum, so I really never continue going out there. Going back to Chris Sky, great activist. Chris, tell folks how you're running for the mayor of Toronto. Then let's get into the latest on the poison shots and what you're predicting is coming next with that.
Well, I never considered public office in any way, shape, or form, but a series of events happened that basically had the universe thrust the opportunity into my face and tell me, if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you. And I can explain. I've split my time between Toronto and Alberta, but I've been a resident of Toronto for like 35 years. And John Tory was the mayor. He had to resign because he got caught in an affair. And so the mayor is now an open incumbent. And there's nobody to take his place, really. Nobody that I've ever heard of before. And I'm in a unique position because I was going to Toronto already for court. I had some really bad charges, and there's all a setup. I can't really talk about it very much because I still have one day left in trial. But I can tell you that the charges were threatening to kill all the premiers in Canada, which are the equivalent of your governors, and assault with deadly weapon on police officers. So I was told I had to go to Toronto for February 15th for court. And the worldwide rally was February 18th. So they asked me if I would come to the worldwide rally and speak. And we called the worldwide rally Reunite Ontario. I said, no problem. 3 days before I was going to Toronto, John Tory was forced to resign. Before I even knew he was supposed to resign, people started calling me and asking me if I'd be running for mayor. I said, what are you talking about? Why are you saying that? They told me because I was trending online. So I checked on Twitter and Google, and sure enough, Chris Sky for mayor was trending before I knew about it. So putting all that together, when I did get to Toronto, I had the ability. I was supposed to meet with this family of a little girl who had mental health problems that only manifested during COVID. And we were going to go visit her for her birthday. And unfortunately, when we got there on February 16th, she was in the hospital. So we had to visit her in the hospital. I've been saying this on video over and over. I'm sure you have clips of it, where I said I would do anything in my power to make sure that they would never hurt children. And when I saw her sitting there and she said that the best gift she ever got was me coming to see her for her birthday, and she asked me if I'd be running for mayor, the only answer I could tell her was yes. So yesterday at the worldwide rally, I announced that I would be running for mayor of Toronto because they're going to be hosting a snap election that's probably going to be announced March 29th. I'm in a unique position, and I believe I'm the best man for the job, and I'll tell you why. First of all, my background, Chris Sky, that name comes from Sky Homes Corporation. So for the last 20 plus years, I've been in professional develop, design, and build. So I've been involved with the government, and especially in the planning and development aspect of government from municipalities all over Ontario. So I'm more qualified than any of these politicians. Secondly, for all these politicians, it's a job, a career, a promotion. For me, it's a big sacrifice. I sacrifice my family life, sacrifice my personal life, sacrifice my career to come and clean this swamp. Finally, I'm the only candidate that will stop the 15-minute cities, stop the carbon allowance. I'm the only candidate.
Which, by the way, Canada has announced 15-minute cities all over.
Oh, they've announced it everywhere. It's already in Toronto. It's already in Ottawa. It's already in Edmonton. It's already for Vancouver. And they admit that it's about reducing vehicle traffic. They admit everything I said. So they basically...
Well, look, I'm going to get behind you because regardless, and you got a good chance to win, you're so popular. He's well-known in the U.S. folks. Like, people really love him in Canada. You'll be able to educate people and you'll be able to inject real issues into the campaign. So it's a win-win-win no matter if you win or not. And you want people to go to your email. You want people to sign up at your email so you can contact them, communicate with them, give people the email.
Well, we started an email campaign. Any Canadian, it's not a campaign for mayor. This is the campaign so I'll be able to run for mayor because I'm going to have to put everything else aside in my life. So we created an email. It is chrissky4change@mail.com. And any Canadian can send an e-transfer of support to that email. Any American or international supporter can email that email and find out how they can support this. When I get elected, and I will get elected, and first of all, I'm the only political candidate where you can Google Chris Sky's cell phone number and it'll come up. 416-400-9994. And when I get elected, that number will still be public. It does not go to an office. It does not go to an assistant. It does not go to a voicemail. It comes to me. And I spend at least 21 hours a day awake. Ask my wife. I only sleep 3 hours a day. And the rest of those hours, I'm on my phone and I'm answering calls and I'm trying to help people any way I can.
Give the email out again.
I'm sorry?
Give the email out again.
It's chrissky4change@mail.com. chrissky4change@mail.com.
Okay, great. I'm glad we'll follow it. We'll cover it. I'm told you're going to be back on the show this coming Friday to get more into all this, but let's get into the poison shot, where they are. They're admitting they want to bring it back. The UN's hyping Marburg that kills 90% of people, they claim. You got a good crystal ball on this. What's coming next?
It's terrifying. Well, first of all, we already saw that we have massive uprise in other infections because the children have their immune systems compromised, A, from wearing masks, B, from being isolated, and C, from giving these poison injections. We had this whole triple-demic where they had the flu that came back after nobody had the flu for almost 2 years. RSV virus, which is a very common virus that every parent goes through, became this new scary thing. Then they had the monkeypox scare. They really were just trying to see any way they could scare the public back into submissions, back into mandates. But now we have to worry about two very scary things. But number one, the Marburg virus in New Guinea. First of all, it happened under very suspicious circumstances. Researchers were working with monkeys and they all mysteriously got infected. And just in time for them to test a brand new mRNA Marburg vaccine. Very, very suspicious. And Marburg vaccine is not a joke. It has about a 90% kill rate. So this is very dangerous. Then they're talking about bird flu, avian flu. And they said it has already jumped to mammals, which is extremely scary. COVID had over a 99% survival rate. Avian flu is 50-50. That means you got a 1 in 2 chance of dying if you contract this. It usually only flows through birds, but now they're seeing that it's manifesting into other animals.
And all of this is right on time as the UN tries to get their world treaty in to take control of our bodies.
Very scary indeed. It's almost like they want to scare people so much that people will simply give up their right to bodily autonomy and allow it to be attached to a so-called digital currency. In Canada, they're trying to push the universal basic income very hard. And you know what they're doing to do it? They know every country's weakness. And in Canada, besides being too nice and tolerant, our financial weakness is Canadians love to live in a nice, big, comfy home. They spend way too much of their monthly bills on their mortgage. So what did the government do? They raised interest rates like 4 times to the point where some people are paying double on their mortgage. Some people are paying so much on their mortgage that they're underwater on their house. In fact, within another 6 months, if 30, 40% of Canadians are going to have to either sell their house or downsize in some way, how nice would it be for the government to come in with a wonderful homeowner savings program where they're going to give you so much money a month to save your home, but all you're going to have to do is submit to the digital identity, the iris scan, the fingerprint, the DNA sample, and of course the mandatory vaccinations and the digital ID.
So that's the cheese on the mouse. That's the cheese on the mousetrap.
That's right. They're gonna bait the trap in every way possible. For the low, low income, they're going to sell the 15-minute cities on the idea that you couldn't own a car anyway. You couldn't own a house anyway. So this is great. For the 15-minute cities, ask them to show you the renderings where the cars are. Ask them to show you the renderings where the single-family
dwellings
are.
Well, they admit there won't be cars. And again, you'll own nothing and be happy, Klaus Schwab said. Final segment with Chris Sky, also the Richard Belzer clip, and more. Stay with us. And then Owen Schroeder takes over in 15 minutes. segment with the great Chris Sky. I'm Alex Jones, your host, and Owen Schroyer takes over the next 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m. Central, ahead of Harrison Smith, 8 a.m. tomorrow, Infowars.com/show, and stations across the country. And at 11 a.m., I go live again with some big guests and more breaking news tomorrow. Chris, you really have a great mindset. You know how to break their conditioning. You know they want us depressed and out of the game. You're one of the best when it comes to not just predicting the future and tracking the enemy's operations because of your great business background and research and acumen, but also in getting people fired up to be positive. That's a problem I have, getting too close to this and staring into the abyss. How do you do this and not get depressed? And what's your great advice to all the viewers and listeners?
Well, this is a two-step process. First of all, I stay positive because as long as I stay positive, they cannot affect me. As soon as you're negative, you're taken out of the game. First, we have to wake people up. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's confused. But when people realize that everything, COVID, 15-minute city, carbon tax, all of that is about power and control for the government while using fear and confusion to null you into submission. When people realize that it has nothing to do with health and safety, they're awake. That's step one. Now the problem is the government knows I'm great at waking people up. They know we're great at waking people up. So what do? Once those people are awake, they bombard you with negativity and they try to overwhelm you with so many things coming at you that you feel paralyzed and you don't want to fight back. And in fact, when you're in that negative mindset, you cannot even connect with others. I can give you a perfect example. When I say things like the men in Canada need to step up and be more manly, the ones in a negative mindset will say, wow, Chris Sky is attacking me. He's an asshole. I'm not going to listen to him. The ones in a positive mindset have activated their individual power, and they'll be ready to accept that message and connect with others, amplifying their power. So you need to get yourself into a positive mindset, and then you can connect with other people of the positive mindset. And when you have a whole bunch of people ready and willing to just say no, we call that united non-compliance. And that is the single perfect solution to every single problem that they try to force upon you. A whole group of people simply not going along with it. And how do you do that? You wake them up, let them know what's really going on. You activate their positive energy so they understand that they are an individual with a little bit of power. And then you connect them with other positive, like-minded individuals with the same thoughts for freedom. And you know what happens? You get a worldwide movement that transcends borders. It transcends language. It transcends psychological programming. And it cannot be undone. And that's what we have right now. We have them reacting literally in real time to the things that we say and do.
And the UN and the big corporations saying arrest us, silence us, they are desperate. They've got less than a 7% approval rating internationally. The New World Order is being identified. We are spotlighting the cockroaches. How big was that to have Elon Musk come out against the New World Order? Suddenly Joe Rogan knows all about the New World Order, which I told you he's known about it forever. He's speaking out against it. Again, we have to be ready for these pop icons to join us. People can't be mad they didn't join us previously. They're joining now because now they think it's safe, which is fine.
Yes, that's a very good point. You have to take your allies where you can find them. You cannot ostracize people. I have so many people, a perfect example is, oh, you can't trust the police. Well, there's lots of police you can't trust, but there's some amazing police you can. And you need to take your allies where you can get them, especially in law enforcement and government positions. They want to divide us.
I've found a lot of people in government are more awake than the public. They're just compartmentalized.
Exactly. And they're too afraid to speak out because they believe they have a lot more to lose. But in reality, we all have the same thing to lose. We all have our freedom to lose. We all have our opportunity to lose. And we all have that to lose, not just for ourselves, but for generations to come. And I, for one, will not be the kind of man that walks around 10 years from now looking youth in the eyes and saying, well, I did everything I could to help, but it wasn't good enough. No, I'm going to do everything in my power and things that aren't even in my power to ensure that their plans fall flat on their face. And it's inevitable because as long as there's warriors like you and me and millions of others, they can never win, Alex. They can never win.
Absolutely. Plus, when people know giving into the New World Order only makes it worse, you're going to have to completely roll over and have your way of life and your probably your physical life destroyed Or you can say, by increments, I'm going to get informed, I'm going to inform others, and I'm going to stop submitting to the New World Order. You're joining us coming up on the Friday show here in about 5 days from now. Chris Skye, people can find you at realchrissky.com on Instagram, Telegram, realchrissky. Everybody should take clips of this interview, especially that second segment you were on. Was just, I mean, the crew was clapping. They always liked the show. They were saying, man, that was powerful. Amazing job, Chris Skye. We'll talk to you again, my friend.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
All right. Well, this was a great Sunday show. Owen's loaded for bear as well. Big developments on the whole train development, a derailment. They found pipe bombs now. And the locals are saying a week before FEMA came in and said, we want you to all wear these armbands during a coming emergency. This is mainstream news. So this is looking worse and worse and worse. Owen Schroyer is going to be covering all of that. Please remember, we're listener supported. We can't do it without you, and we got great products you need. The highest quality CBD oil for your joints, your bones, your brain, your body at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWarsMD. Back in stock, the 1,000 milligram, the 25, the 10 milligram. It's all there. Outside groups have tested it. It's the highest quality out there for really more than 50% off what it should be. Restored and back in stock after a year. Prebiotic fiber, highest quality, so good for your body. Helps create a special amino acid in the gut that's anti-cancer and more. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. Ultimate Bone Broth, it's back in store. Both of those are discounted at InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139. Now, I want to give an old friend who was on the show dozens of times, you know, I talked to a lot off air, a good send-off. He invited me to France. He invited me when he was out in L.A., and I was always so busy I could never go hang out with him. I wish I would have. But comedian, Law and Order icon Richard Belzer, very popular, trailblazing comedian at 78 years old, died at his home in southwest France. Cause is not known, but his old friend said that he'd been having a lot of health problems. But the coolest thing ever happened with him is he said, hey, I want to come on next week. I'm going to be having Christopher Walken over to my house to cook chicken and drink some wine. You ought to come up here. He was on the East Coast, some farmhouse. I said, man, I can't do it. I'd love to, you know, meet Christopher Walken. He's a great actor. And then sure enough, he comes on the show the next week, and all of a sudden Christopher Walken comes in and sits on his lap as a joke. And he was going to be on for longer, but he didn't want to hear about 9/11 and the New World Order. He wanted to have a non-political discussion, but here's part of that. We'll get the full interview tomorrow and re-upload it to band.video to give Richard Belzer a good send-off. But here's a little snippet of one of our more interesting interviews. Chris, what is your view on what's happening in the world right now with the TSA and the groping and the surveillance grid? I was hearing that you don't have all the little spy gadgets in your house. I envy that.
I have no idea, and I hardly leave the house. Chris does not. I cook, read the news.
Richard just gave me his book. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, he'll read my book, thank God.
It's right here.
It's a history book. But Chris is...
But I'm working with Richard on the cooking book. To me, that's...
Right, we're going
to
do something together. But Chris is brilliant because he doesn't want to be on the Google map, and he doesn't want his phone to have that reverse technology that we all know. Even when it's off, they know where we are. And he's one of the few people I know and on the earth that has managed to do that. I mean, we have to do it. We're in media, but you know, he can go to a movie set. They give him a phone that he can throw away when it's over, when he does a play. It's the coolest. I mean,
they only give me the phone so that they can know where
he is. But he's
showing away my radio/TV show. We're almost invading you right now like an alien probe.
I know. I was taking a nap and Richard called me out and here I am.
This is unbelievable. But Mr. Walken, what do you think of the whole announcement of that they want to have an Iran war? Do you think that's a bad idea?
I don't know anything about that. He's got a nap, Alex.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Walken.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I'm sorry, Richard, that I brought up serious subjects.
No.
Calling back, let's ask him his favorite recipe with truffles. Ask him that. All right, folks, that's it for my broadcast. The full interview, there was more walking, will be uploaded to band.video tomorrow, maybe even tonight. I'm going to go to break here, and when I come back, Owen Schroyer in 2 minutes will be sitting in this chair. Got a big broadcast. Please join him, and please share the links. That's how we override the censors. Great job, Chris Skye. Amazing job, crew. Let's pray to try to end World War III. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I've got some good news, ladies and gentlemen. After over 2 years of being sold out.
Yo, Rom, I got that video that you wanted me to do the report on. Do you want a 5 or a 10 minute video? Rock, do you want a 5 or a 10 minute video report? What is going on? What the? Oh my gosh.